We've got Trevor Lauer, the president, chief operating officer for DT Electric here. Trevor, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And I'd just like to clarify that I think I'm the good looking one. Well, the three of us.
We all have faces for radio in here, just for the record. But we're going to touch base a little bit about this new plant being built. But this is one statistic I like to share, a fact that I'd like to share with my listeners out there. I'm going to give you some numbers here. DTE companies, $903 million. ITC, 112. Consumers Energy, 100. Enbridge, 64. 64 million. Those are top four taxpayers in St. Clair County. And no, we're not negotiating a reduction here today, Trevor.
I didn't know if you wanted to negotiate publicly, especially with Mark.
Well, he's trying to steal the next plant from me here. But I just want to shine some light on how significant DTE is to our community and how long. 1914, I got an opportunity to talk at the groundbreaking this year. DTE started that first plant, the old Mighty Marysville, 1914, over 100 years of history. And we're glad to have you, and we're glad to have you building the new Blue Water Energy Center. You want to touch base a little bit about what's going on?
I will touch base. And let's go back and first talk about the relationship we've had with St. Clair County and the people in St. Clair County. When you make an investment like the Blue Water Energy Center, which is a $1 billion investment for DTE and for our customers, you want to do it in a place where you know you're going to have good neighbors, good partners, a good infrastructure. And that's what we have here in St. Clair County. From the natural gas infrastructure to the electrical infrastructure, this is a perfect place for us to build this plant. So we couldn't be more happy to be here in St. Clair County and making our next major investment in it.
Don't trip.
Don't go to Macomb. Hey, we got a friend of Mark here. We were talking about earlier, though, how important Macomb County is for St. Clair County to do well and vice versa. And we've got, you know, great relationships here. I happen to live down in that area, and I see all the activity that's going on. And I have a lot of friends now that are working down there.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how excited they are not having to make that drive. You know, a lot of them are going to the Zug Islands and those types of places. And, boy, they just are the happiest people on the planet to be able to get
Well, the construction activity, you really see it going by there. And I'll give a couple statistics. We've driven 3,200 piles at the site right now. So it's the equivalent of 50 million pounds of steel that we've put in the ground there. The underground piping that's going in is just amazing to me. It's a 60-acre site, essentially, that we've moved dirt on. We've got about 250 people working full-time there, and that'll peak at about 600 next year. The major equipment will start to arrive. The turbines will start to arrive later this fall. I'll be there when they're offloading them because you don't get to see equipment like that. But they're essentially a couple giant jet engines, right? What's great about this plant is it'll be able to ramp up to meet customer demand and ramp down very quickly. So a normal fossil plant, if you think about Bell River and St. Clair plants, which are wonderful assets, but they take about 24 hours to come up to full load to be able to help manage the electricity usage. Well, with the penetration of renewables, we need resources that react very quickly to changes in the grid or changes in the weather, because our renewables are great, but if the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing, they're not going to work. Well, this asset will be able to ramp up in 9 minutes, so we'll be able to react very quickly to changes in the grid, which just makes this a wonderful asset.
As opposed to what you're dealing with the coal, and how long does it take to ramp up for that?
Yeah, so coal takes about 24 hours. Our nuclear plant will take 24 hours to 36 hours, really, to sink into the grid so it gets up to full operation. And then, Mark, once they get it full operation, they're not made to ramp up and down. So once you get them up to 100% and running at 100%, you want to keep them exactly there. This unit, we can ramp it up, we can ramp it down, and it's designed to actually do exactly that. So it's designed to match the profile of the heavy renewable build that we continue to do here in the state.
And so, you know, most people that are probably listening to this that are at home, they don't really understand the technology behind this and how they get it. They just want to flip a switch and, you know, the lights go on.
Right.
And so, you know, the question becomes, you know, how do they guarantee the service? You know, there's always a concern about the weather, you know, that impacts, obviously, the service that's, you know, coming to their home. I've noticed, and I got to have an appreciation for the contacts we've had with DT over the times that I've been county executive, and even as a sheriff, when there is a power outage or there is a concern, our dispatches are getting inundated. People are calling and concerned. And, you know, what you have done and how far we've come along, you know, with the ability for people to go online to make a determination and see, you know, is this going to Is this going to be shored up anytime soon? But also the ability to communicate and call you and say, hey, you know, what is happening? We do have a concern in a particular area because of a particular person's need, manufacturing area that we may have. There has been a very responsive, willingness on behalf of DTE to kind of address these issues. But what is it moving forward that DTE is doing to kind of ensure that these issues aren't going to happen to begin with?
Yeah, no, I think you've given me the hardest question, but also the right question to ask this morning. And I think the right thing for me to do is to start by apologizing for the outages we've had over the last 2 weeks. Mother Nature has not been kind to us over the last 2 weeks. We've had almost 700,000 customers over the last 2 weeks lose power. By the way, nobody's out of power right now, so we've got it all fixed.
Back up and running.
And I could not be more proud of the men and women of DTE and the way they responded and how quickly we got everybody's power back. But that said, I can't make excuses. What we need to do is continue to harden our electric grid so that when weather strikes, it doesn't have quite the impact. So there's a couple things we're doing right now. Starting in 2015, we've undertaken a pretty extensive program that really includes two main elements. First is tree trimming. 70% of our outages come from trees, and we're really fortunate here in Southeast Michigan to live in such a beautiful area with such beautiful trees. We have towns called Ann Arbor and Glen Arbor and all these wonderful, you know, tree-related communities. Well, DTE is not going to come in and cut all the trees down in the community. That is not what we want to do. On the other hand, what we know is they interfere with electricity use overhead. So we've got to go in and work with our communities, the community leaders, the homeowners, to trim trees as effectively as we can to get them back away from our lines. So to do that, we've increased the amount of money we're spending in tree trimming from $50 million a year 3 years ago to $150 million a year. We're the largest tree trimmer in the state. We've got about 1,000 people every day that do nothing but trim trees in Southeast Michigan. So that's number one. We need to stay at tree trimming and do it in a really excellent way. The second is harden the infrastructure. So our infrastructure is a lot like the roads and the sewer and the water and all the other infrastructure that we're talking about in the counties and in the state. Most of our infrastructure was built in the 40s and 50s. It's at that time where we have to come back and start to significantly rebuild and re-harden that infrastructure. But I use the analogy, unlike a highway where I can shut down I-94 in a whole section for 6 months, I can't shut down my infrastructure and tell people they can't have electricity. So I rebuild it as people are using the infrastructure. So we have a program we're calling hardening where we go and we replace utility poles. We call them cross arms, but the thing that goes across the top of it, pull new wire, and we're aggressively going after rebuilding and hardening our system. But our system's 40,000 miles. A system is, it's just tremendously big. And it's going to take us a while, but we've increased our spend by 400% on hardening the system. And it's something we're just going to have to stay at so we improve service.
And, you know, that really puts it in perspective when you start talking about it, you know, in comparison to what we're dealing with roads. And I often talk with Candace Miller about the infrastructure underground. Every time we talk about infrastructure, people think of roads because they see that, they travel on it, that's problematic, but they don't understand the underground issues with the sewer and water getting to you and how old those systems are and the need to replace those and the costs associated with it. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the lines, you know, that were put up in the 40s, you know, that becomes a challenge for you. And people don't see it, they don't know it, but they certainly want it, activated when they flip a switch, but they don't really realize what goes on behind the scenes to try to figure out how to fix that. And, boy, I tell you, you make a great point, you know, that you can't just shut down the entire grid or system to try to, you know, I guess, put it back in line like we could with a roadway, you know, just
right.
Bring it down to one lane and, you know, kind of having traffic flowing at different times. But that's a lot of work that goes into that.
Well, when you talk about a 400% increased spend, that kind of leads into a big thing that DTE, and I know Jerry Anderson had touched base on this, I heard a few years ago, was your Pure Michigan Business Connect initiative. I think at one time you were spending roughly, you know, $400 million with Michigan-based companies, which increased that, I think, in 2017. Don't hold a gun to my head. But it was roughly $1.7 billion, and you just recently we were up on Mackinac this year, and you signed another initiative. Would you touch base a little bit on that?
Yeah, well, the Pure Michigan Business Connect has been something really successful. So back in 2008, when the Great Recession really hit Michigan, and I think all of us looked around our neighborhoods and saw people leaving the state, packing up, selling their homes, a series of us sat down at DTE and said, you know, we can do more. What is it that we can help with? And the governor at the time came to us and asked, Now, how can you help with your spend, that your, you know, your supply chain spend? And at the time, we had about 30% of our supply chain spend happening here in the state of Michigan. So what we said is, you know, we can work hard to make sure that Michigan businesses benefit from the money that DTE is spending. So we've gone from about $250 million a year to almost $2 billion a year in spend with Michigan-based providers. Now, we don't sacrifice quality, and we are not sacrificing cost. But what we found is if we sit down with Michigan-based businesses and we explain what it's like to do business with a company like DTE, and we help them understand some of the risks of working in our industry, we found that there's outstanding companies. Companies in Michigan can compete with anybody. But what we had to do was slow down enough to make sure we gave them the opportunity to do business with us. And I think it's one of the absolute successes that we've been able to do. We can point county by county, and we can look at the number of jobs that have been created. We look at the number of businesses that are helping to be supported by DTE, and it's something we're extremely proud of it at our company.
Well, I can just tell you with that new plant going on right now, and I know obviously a lot of local suppliers that are working down there, they've had to actually hire additional help because of that plant coming online. And I think when they talked the 1 year, it was roughly 8,400 jobs, if I'm not mistaken, there again, give or take, on what was created of this Pure Michigan Business Connect. So I've got to give you guys all the credit in the world, because sometimes I don't think the utility companies, you know, perhaps, you know, get enough credit for the different initiatives and things they do. I know you guys are very conscientious to make this happen.
Well, I would describe DTE as a pretty humble company, and that's the way we want to go about our business. But since we've jumped into Pure Michigan Business Connect, there's been a whole lot of other major companies that have now jumped in and followed our suit. We were one of the first companies in America to announce a major carbon reduction. We fundamentally believe that climate change is an issue that we need to take on as a company and an industry. So DTE jumped in, and now we've seen a lot of other utility companies follow our lead, including Consumers Energy here in Michigan. We think it's wonderful that we're able to really lead in this space and then get a lot of others to come along with us.
Yeah, to follow up on what Jeff was saying, I think it's important for people to understand that are listening. You know, there's more to the company than just the fact that you got to pay a bill and hope that your lights go on. You know, the behind-the-scenes things that are happening, and even if there are challenges, the unique nature where DTE has positioned themselves to be able to kind of respond to the problems and the issues that are happening, but also to get ahead of it with, like, Business Connect and other things that they're doing in the communities.
Yeah, so, Trevor, I really appreciate you coming in. Now, this is your big opportunity. We can make that announcement. It's that second plant coming. I thought we were here for a ribbon cutting.
Well, I thought I would negotiate with both you and Mark and see who has the best tax deal.
You're killing me. You're killing me, Trevor.
I'm glad you're here. All right. Macomb your home.
All right. Make Macomb your home.
Jeff Bohm and Mark Hackle filling in for the vacationing Paul Miller here on WPHM 1380.